I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest joining us by Zoom conference call is Leo Kale, an artist that hails from Ocean View and has a new work out now, 101 Watercolor Stories, which is a beautiful piece. Leo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're able to join us today and that you actually reached out to point me in the direction of your work. It, as I said, it's a beautiful piece, but what I'd like to do for our listening audience is go back in time to take a look at the beginnings of your career. What got you involved in artistry and in particular watercolor?
So as a kid, I had some very talented relatives, some cousins, and I was very enamored by their work. So that got me, you know, interested in art, in high school. It was apparent that I had some pretty good drawing skills. Did that, ended up in art college, Maryland Institute College of Art, was there for a few years and then started a family. At that point I used my artistic skills as a technical illustrator. So really most of my life I've been doing commercial artwork, doing a lot of oils and acrylics. But about 5-6 years ago, I revisited my watercolors for a birthday gift for a friend. And that just started an entirely new path for me. And it's been a pretty amazing ride for the last 6 years.
Now, for those listeners and for myself who are not visual artists and as familiar with working with different media, talk a little bit about how you mentioned oils and now you're working watercolors. Talk a little bit about what the different techniques entail. I mean, what are your considerations when you work in oil as opposed to working with watercolor?
Mediums like oil and acrylic, you pretty much have command over the medium. You know, what you put down stays there. You go to lunch, come back, and nothing has changed. Watercolor is you partner with watercolor. You never really have control. It's like a dance. It's an amazing a dynamic between the artist and the medium where you really partner. And I never know how they're going to turn out. I just kind of point us both in the same direction and hope that we get a good result.
Now, I'm curious, with oils and acrylics, my assumption is it's easier to correct something that you don't like because you can paint over it.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? But you don't have that luxury with watercolor. Or do you?
Not really. You can go back in and make minor additions or corrections, but basically whatever you do is what you're going to get. So you have to kind of let go of that fear of making a mistake. You have to embrace mistakes and embrace what happens with it, as opposed to thinking that you're going to have total control over it.
Now, do you have particular artists in your past who have been inspirations to your work? As we mentioned off air, I noticed one of your dog's name is Wyeth, so I assume there's something there.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of Andrew Wyeth, or the whole Wyeth family, actually. As far as watercolor artists, Winslow Homer is somebody I really admire. His work has such a narrative quality to it. I'm all about stories, finding stories and light. And Winslow Homer's work was very, very influential to me.
Well, so you said that your watercoloring has been really an emphasis of yours over the last 5 years. Is that right?
Yeah, about 6 years. Yes,
6 years. And is that what I assume that's the focus then of your new work, 101 Watercolor Stories?
Yes, absolutely. Like I mentioned, I'm kind of all about stories. My artwork, each painting has some sort of goofy, fun, sad story that I kind of draw upon.
And where have those stories come from?
All over the place, really. Really just my life experiences, my family, my friends, just things that occur in your life that you think that would something you wouldn't remember, So I look for special moments, and I just want to get them down. I want to remember them. I want to get them down.
Now, skimming through your book earlier today, correct me if I'm wrong, but I got the sense that these 101 watercolor stories are done in such a way that it's not only a presentation of artwork, but it's also in some ways almost an autobiography through art.
Yes, absolutely. Especially the last 6 years.
What are some of the topics that the reader can see?
Well, again, a lot of my life stories, things that I see that excite me. I'm very attracted to light. So when I see dramatic light, that's kind of the first thing. And then the second thing I look for is some sort of story. It could be a very simple story. It could be, you know, a complex story, but I look for light. I look for story. I think that's what you'll find in the book.
And did these 101 paintings inspire the book, or were they the purpose for the book? I guess I can phrase that better. Were these paintings intended to be put together as a book, or did you do these paintings and then the idea of putting them together as a collection came about?
So I never envisioned a book. As I learned the medium of watercolor, and as I got deeper and deeper into them, I just thought that, and also I started teaching a class, a community college class. I just felt like the people that follow my work would enjoy my journey with this medium, because it really is a learning experience, and I haven't mastered it yet, I don't believe. I don't think you ever master watercolor. So it's really just been this paintings come first, and then I thought that it would make a nice book.
So does the paintings in the book are done they're presented chronologically, correct?
Exactly, yes.
So does this show your evolution as a watercolor artist?
Yes, that was kind of the point of the book, was to show how I grew, how I learned the medium and kept learning. And I thought that other people that might like to learn watercolor would find this helpful, that I learned along the way. And if you go through all the stories, you'll see that where I screwed up and where I made mistakes and where I learned from my mistakes. And so hopefully if you're an aspiring watercolor artist, this will help you.
Now, do you correspond or communicate with other watercolor artists? Are there others, contemporaries that you, you know, work with or talk to or learn from?
Well, in my book, you'll learn about an artist named Alvaro Castanet. And he was an artist I discovered in a watercolor book 6 years ago. And I just was absolutely blown away by this man's work. So I attended one of his workshops in 2016. And he's just been a true inspiration to me. He's a contemporary artist. He's from Uruguay. So he's just had a massive influence on my work and really has taught me how to do watercolor through his work.
So you have corresponded with him. Now I'm curious, as a watercolor artist and having previous artists like Andrew Wyeth and the Wyeth family as inspirations, how would you describe your palette? You mentioned that you're attracted to light and color. Andrew Wyeth, I mean, my familiarity with him is that he has a palette that is earthy, for lack of a better word. How would you describe yours?
I would describe my palette as limited. I always try to find what's known as a mother color, some sort of color or color temperature that influences the entire scene. I think the worst thing you can do is use all the color options that you have available to you. I tell my students, I have a very small palette, 12 or 15 pigments in my palette, and that's it. So I try to use a very limited palette, and then concentrate some intense hues around my focal area, but a very limited palette.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting in it. When you do a painting, are you looking at the object, or do you do it from a photograph, or are you just sort of envisioning in your head and then putting down on paper?
Well, in the beginning, I heavily relied on reference photographs, and I as I got better and more confident, I gradually moved away from that. So now I can pretty much look at any scene. I can set up outside, but I still rely on photos just as a visual reference. But I'm never ever a slave to a photo. I just kind of use it to remember the scene, and then I just kind of make it up as I go along. At that point.
Well, I want to continue with our conversation, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio, actually joining by Zoom, I should say, is Leo Kale, an artist who is currently residing down in Southern Delaware, down in the Ocean View area. It has a new work out, 101 Watercolor Stories. Some beautiful work depicting, Leo, your evolution as a watercolor artist. Let me, before I forget, ask you to point our listeners in the direction of your website.
Yes, my website is www.leokalewatercolors.com.
And you mentioned early on that you studied at the Maryland Institute, is that correct?
That's correct.
So, and your career has been both as a painter, but also as a commercial artist, correct?
I've had a very interesting career that combines engineering, marketing, graphics, you know, kind of all rolled into one. So I do a lot of product development and then the marketing for those products.
That's interesting. Can you talk as one of the issues always facing artists is how to market their work? Has your professional career informed your personal life as an artist?
Yes, absolutely. While I'm very good at marketing other people's products, I'm not always too great at marketing myself, which I think a lot of artists have the same issue. They can be very good at promoting others, but when it comes to promoting themselves, they kind of hit a brick wall. So I'm learning. I'm learning as I'm going to promote myself and my work.
Mm-hmm. Have you always had the focus on, I'm jumping around here, back to the light and color. Has that always been of interest to you, even back when you were working more in oil and acrylics?
I think so. I have a natural, I see light and I know how to recreate it in a painting. It has to do with relativity. You can't see light in a watercolor painting unless you paint dark. The darker you paint, the brighter the light is in the painting.
Mm-hmm. Are you involved with or engaged in any of the watercolor societies or any of the artist groups down in Southern Delaware?
Not yet. I was a member of the Baltimore Watercolor Society a few years back. I very much want to get involved with the Delaware Watercolor Society and also Rehoboth, and there's Ocean City Art League. Mm-hmm. I'm actually hosting a workshop, Ocean City Art League, at the end of May.
Okay. And you mentioned you teach art as well, correct?
Yes. Several years ago, I decided that I needed to learn to teach others to paint. And by teaching others, I actually teach myself. So several years ago, I started teaching a nighttime class. And that's been extremely helpful and a lot of fun.
And do you teach that just out of your – do you have a studio that you teach out of or?
No, I was living in northern Baltimore area, and I was at a community college, Hartford Community College, and I taught there a couple nights a week.
Oh, okay. Okay. So your background as an artist, the particular topics in this 101 Watercolor Stories really is quite a range. What is it, you mentioned art, color and light. Is it something that you come upon a scene and that captures your attention? I'm curious as to, you know, what is the inspiration for a particular piece of art?
The first thing that attracts me always is light. Is dramatic light. So when I'm driving around, a lot of times I'll see something and I'm like, it's just unbelievable. I have to pull over and get a photo with my phone. I'm just really attracted to dramatic light. And the watercolor medium is the perfect medium to recreate that phenomenon.
And what is the time frame from inspiration to completion of a piece of a particular painting?
It can be dragged out, or it can be very quick. And the quickest ones are the best pieces. The things that I sketch out and paint within 20, 30 minutes are usually my best work.
Now, do you ever sketch out your work in advance? I remember an exhibition at the Brandywine River Museum that just astonished me. It was a working exhibition of Andrew Wyeth's work. And along the wall was a series of, there must have been 20 pencil sketches of the hand that Christina was leaning on in the field in Christina's world. Just the hand, you know, just working sketches. And it really was revelatory to me to see, you know, often you look at a finished painting and you don't realize all the preliminary sketches that went into getting each piece just right. Do you sketch out these pieces in advance, or do you just start with the watercolor?
Yes and no. Some pieces I take my time and I kind of think it through, and I'll do several sketches to try to move things around and get them in a good composition. And other times is extremely quick. I mean, I can do a sketch, and I tell my students the sketch should take you no more than a minute, 1 or 2 minutes to block in all the big shapes. So that's the thing I love about watercolor, is just this utter spontaneity where you can be inspired. You've got your paper, your pencil, your paints. You can just immediately, the immediacy of watercolor is what is so attractive to me.
And as you mentioned earlier, once that paint is on the page, you're kind of committed to it in a way. Talk about the relationship between the watercolor and the paper. Do you work with different kinds of paper, and does that impact how you paint?
That's a great question. I primarily use Arches watercolor, rough watercolor paper, but occasionally I'll use a paper brand called Saunders, which has a very higher degree of sizing, which causes the paint, the watercolor, to kind of, I call it slip slide around the surface before it actually bites into the paper. So Saunders paper can give you a very, very interesting effect. And I talk about that in my book. You can see the differences between different paintings based on the type of paper that I use.
And am I right that just the physical location of the paper is going to be different if you're using watercolor? I mean, I assume it has to be flat rather than upright at an angle. Or am I wrong there?
Well, I work probably a 30 or 40 degree angle, because I count on gravity to help move the water and the pigment down through the painting. So sometimes I'll work flat just because I don't want the water. I wanted to do certain things. So it's funny when you watch me paint, I'm picking my board up and holding it up and down. I'm getting the water to drip and drab in the direction that I want. So I'm pretty, pretty animated when I paint.
And again, I don't have an experience of seeing painters at work a whole lot. Is it with watercolor? I assume you have to think, with the brush from the top down, whereas with oil, you can work from the bottom up. Do you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah. You have to take gravity in consideration when you're doing a watercolor painting, especially when you're putting down a lot of water and it's just kind of going everywhere. You really use gravity as a tool to help guide the pigment. Mm-hmm.
Now your book, 101 Watercolor Stories, it represents, I assume, the last 5 or 6 years of your watercolor painting, right?
Yes.
So how long did it take you to put the book together itself? Because there's a lot of narrative with it that is really very interesting, sort of, you know, talking about each of the paintings and what the inspiration behind it was and what thought processes went into that. How long did the book take to put together?
It took a good 13 months to write all the stories, to edit it, to physically do the graphic layout of the book. So a good 13 months to build this book, plus the 6 years of painting.
And is it available to the general public at this point?
Yes, right now it's an ebook available on Amazon. Eventually I hope to have it as a hardbound book, But for right now, it's an ebook.
And I'm assuming you are continuing to paint even after this book is together?
Oh, I'm more motivated than ever. And I really want the last part of my life and career to be just all about watercolor.
And do you, you mentioned your website earlier. I'm going to ask you to mention it again. Do you have a gallery of your work on your website?
Yes. Pretty much every watercolor painting I've ever done is on the website. So if you click on the watercolor tab, you'll see hundreds of paintings.
And that website is?
It's www.leokalewatercolors.com.
And that's Kale spelled K-A-H-L.
That's correct.
Right, leokalewatercolors.com. Well, Leo, we've got about a minute left. I would love to hear just a little recap of your career in terms of what painting has meant to you, both for your personal and your professional life.
Painting has, besides my family and my wife and my kids, painting is the most spiritually fulfilling thing that I've ever done and probably ever will do. It's a very, very important part of my life, and I can't imagine not being able to do it.
Well, again, having had the opportunity to skim through the work earlier today, I'm just fascinated with just the intricacies of your work, the beauty of the work, and the really fun narrative that you have accompanying the work in 101 Watercolor Stories. Leo, it's really been a delight talking to you today. For our listeners, we've been talking to Leo Kale, artist from Ocean View, Delaware. I encourage you to visit his site at leokalewatercolors.com. Leo, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.